Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us today. We're going to be talking about the faith-based and community initiatives offices out of the administration of the Trump administration and what they're doing. And we're also going to talk about the Faith Engagement Office that was launched by President Trump from the White House itself. And that announcement came during a Rose Garden ceremony of the National Day of Prayer just over a year ago. We're going to talk about a new proposed rule change from the Department of Labor when it comes to faith organizations and action items for you to weigh in, because they are taking public comment. And you may have heard about this proposed law change by the administration. We're going to talk about what it means to organizations, Christian organizations, churches, and people, faith-based organizations. Well, with me on the phone is my good friend, Pastor John Coates. Pastor Coates is an ordained elder in the Church of God of Christ and senior pastor of the Metropolitan Church of God in Christ. Pastor Coates serves as the executive secretary of the Ohio Western Jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ, and Pastor Coates is the elected second vice president of executive committee member of the Columbus branch of the NAACP. Pastor Coates serves on the Community Advisory Council of Lifeline of Ohio Pastors. Coates is married and has one child, and he's a good friend of the Ohio Christian Alliance and of myself personally. Pastor, welcome to the program.
Well, good day, sir. How are you?
It's a good day, and the Lord is good, and so it's good to have you with us to talk about these important issues of public policy from the administration. You've had a number of invites to the White House as a representative from the organizations that we just listed in your introduction, but also as a faith leader here in the state of Ohio. You've had multiple invitations to the White House. I've had a few with the Trump administration, namely with the National Day of Prayer. You've been, for the last 3 years, I went 2 years in a row. You and I were there together, and it was just over a year ago now that the president announced the Faith Engagement Office that he was opening up from the White House itself to have better communication with organizations of faith and churches and church and faith outreach from the White House. And of course, this was along the lines of what he said during his campaign when he ran in 2016, that he was going to restore the trust of religious liberty in this country. And the president has done that. He's done some very proactive things along those lines. And recently, there has been this proposed law change. We're going to talk about that in a minute about the hiring practices for people of faith, because as we are today, Pastor, there are so many challenges facing the church today with the LGBTQ community making more and more encroachment, which is an affront to people of faith who believe in biblical values. We love everyone. We accept everyone. But we have standards of principles and morality that must be upheld according to our doctrinal beliefs. And, the question is there, will the civil law or government run afoul of religious liberty by forcing an issue for churches to hire or force to hire openly homosexual or lesbian individuals or transgender individuals, which would be against their practicing faith? Not that they would minister to these individuals, provide services to these individuals, if it was food, clothing, if it was counseling. But when it came to actually hiring them and endorsing their lifestyle, well, that's another matter entirely that would run afoul of principles of faith from what we understand from a biblical worldview. Your thoughts?
Well, I think your expression was very clear and very well put. But as Christians, we ought not to be ashamed to be Christians and to uphold our values, the issues that are important to us according to biblical principles, and we need to stand up and to continue to say something. Now, the president over a year ago when he created, or recreated, I should say, the White House Faith and Opportunities Office, is that he put the infrastructure in place behind what he was talking about when he was a candidate for president. He made promises, made strong statements to the Christian community when he was a candidate for the highest office of our land. And by doing this, I think the date was May 3rd, 2018, he signed executive order which put the bones in place for contact throughout every major department in the federal government. Through his administration, there is a faith liaison that is there for the purpose of communicating with faith-based Christian organizations so that we can stay abreast as to what's going on, and we can give direct feedback and suggestions department by department by department, and opposed to it just feeding into one three-person office at the White House and thinking that our ideas are going to get disseminated throughout the administration. So this was putting meat on the bones.
It is. And let's get people up to speed here. So what they're saying, what is faith-based and community initiatives? Well, under President Bush, in his first term, he said that faith organizations ought not to be locked out of the process of receiving federal grant money when they're actually doing the work of feeding the poor, clothing the naked, counseling those who are stressed, and actually after-school programs of education and helping with families. Why are they locked out of the grant application process simply because they hold to a value of faith? He said this ought not to be. Therefore, he had Congress, and he launched the Faith-Based and Community Initiatives Project. Basically, there are eight directors, from what we understand, from eight different departmental agencies in each administration. And there's one at the Department of HUD, one at the Department of Defense, one at the Department of Labor, one at the Department of Justice, and so on. And these are individuals who represent the faith interest within those agencies that serve the administration. Here, the president, as you said, opened and launched this office right from the White House. And, of course, in coordination, in fact, that day he had the heads of those faith-based and community initiatives directors were on hand. Our friend Rich Youngblood, who serves with Dr. Carson over the Department of HUD, was there and introduced us to some of the new members. So that was a very positive step. But then it comes down to where the rubber meets the road. How will this actually translate into religious liberty exercise in the administration? And so we're 3 years into, 3 years plus into the administration. And of course, the president has battled with the hard left on so many issues. But this one he's been pretty consistent on, and he's been an advocate. So let's give the folks kind of an update of where we're at here, because basically we are facing challenges by the radical left, and let's say even the edicts from the Obama administration when he was opening up public restrooms in the schools to transgender students, those transitioning or fluid in their gender transition. So a boy who thinks he's a girl now going into the locker room, the shower, the bathroom, and also into sports programs. And this is starting to happen across the country. And there are lawsuits that have been filed. There's teenage girls standing up, said, no, wait a second. He was born a boy. I do not want, what about my privacy? Okay, this is in the public schools. Let's translate that over into the faith realm. So, for instance, in Columbus, Ohio, here you have a Catholic school, and you're probably familiar with this because you're from Franklin County, a Catholic high school where there was a woman who was employed by the school. Then she comes out, makes an announcement, I am a practicing lesbian. Well, that's where she ran afoul then of the church doctrine, and they said, well, we love you, but you can no longer be employed here because we have a set of principles, and if you're going to persist in this lifestyle, that runs counter to our moral standards. Well, they dismissed her. She filed a lawsuit. The county passed a non-discriminatory, what the SOGI law, Sexual Orientation Gender Identity Ordinance. And they went to court with that. The church, the Catholic Church, lost the case. Now, it might be under appeal, but the fact is there has been irreparable harm to faith institutions along these lines. Here comes the administration now saying, we are going to tweak the U.S. Department of Labor rules and protecting religious organizations. But this isn't just done with a wand, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to take public comment. It is a bureaucracy within Washington. And therefore, your action is needed to actually call and write the Department of Labor and expressing support for this law change or this verbiage change that would allow institutions of faith, because of rights of conscience, not to hire certain individuals or to retain them in service if they choose to live contrary to the church's set of doctrine and of war religious spiritual laws. Your thoughts, Pastor?
And Chris, I believe that there's been good faith, of course, shown by the president. He hit the ground running even before this office was established or reestablished by way of executive order. When the president got into office, you mentioned that he addressed this gender fluid situation. He, during the first National Day of Prayer of the Trump administration, he signed an executive order to get rid of the Johnson Amendment. And not to mention his appointments, his conservative judicial appointments from federal and throughout the federal court system, as well as two conservative Supreme Court justices who were appointed and approved. He has shown good faith, and now it's time for us, Christian leaders, Christians, to make sure that our voice is on record as it relates to how we feel about this language change, which would be in our favor at the U.S. Department of Labor. You best believe that every other special interest group, liberal group, pro-gay group, will make their voice will be heard on record. We need to make sure that we get out of our lazy boys, to put the popcorn down and actively participate in this process called government.
And that's right.
Opportunity to participate.
And we will have the link on our website. If you go to Ohio Christian Alliance, ohioca.org, we'll have the link for the comment page for the U.S. Department of Labor and the proposed rule clarifying civil rights protections for religious organizations. Let me read the header here. The U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs announced a notice proposed rulemaking intended to clarify the civil rights protections afforded to religious organizations that contract with the federal government. The proposed rule ensures that conscience and religious freedom are given the broadest protection permitted by law and will be published in the Federal Register tomorrow. So that was August 15th. So this has just started. The what is it, 30 days of open comment? So the clock is ticking. We need to get your emails in, folks. You need to weigh in with your comment. Don't let your voice be silent. We need to support this proposed rule change. It goes on to say the proposed rule is rooted in statute, Supreme Court decision, and executive orders. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 includes a critical protective exemption for religious organizations. A similar exemption is included in executive order of the regulations, which govern certain employment practices of federal contractors. Recent Supreme Court decisions, the Masterpiece Cake Shop, Colorado Civil Rights Commission, Trinity Lutheran Church, First Comer, and the Burwell and Hobby Lobby stores. These are, of course, some of the Supreme Court cases. The Masterpiece Cake Shop, of course, you remember, is the gentleman that would provide services to homosexuals, but he would not bake them a cake for their wedding or union, which would go against his religious conscience. Further addresses the protections afforded religious organizations and individuals under the Constitution and federal law. So this amendment of the language would favor religious institutions and churches and Christian organizations in our conscience. So again, this is imperative, folks, that we weigh in on this. you want to go to the Ohio Christian Alliance website, we'll have the link there to comment, because they're taking public comment for the next 30 days by the U.S. Department of Labor. And this is so important that we weigh in. It's actually casting your vote in favor of this rule or language change that would favor religious conscience. Pastor, your thoughts?
Well, Chris, first of all, I thank you for the work that you're doing to disseminate this most important information. And, you know, government sometimes has a way of making things difficult. But through the Trump administration, to be able to submit a formal comment has been made easy. So in just going to the Ohio Christian Alliance website and clicking on the link, the comment section, you'll see a page, and there will be a green button on the right-hand side of that page. And all you have to do is click on that button, and it will give you the field in which to comment in. I mean, that's simple. And
well, I'm glad you brought that up, Pastor, because I'm looking at that right now, what you're saying, and we're about to post this up, and it says they're taking comments until September the 16th, there's 26 days left of comment, and there's been 1,628 public comments so far. Your thoughts?
Right, exactly. And when you go online, not only will you be able to make your comment, but, hey, take some time if you have a few minutes and read some of those right as of now, 1,628 public comments that have been made. You can see what's being said from across the country and how imperative it is that we add our comments in as well. Every pastor that you know, every minister, every concerned Christian should take the time to give their comment as it relates to this most important matter. If we don't make our voice heard as far as this is concerned, the attempt in this HHS type of legislation or discriminatory legislation, which makes it difficult for us to hire individuals, and because they could destroy our institutions from the inside out.
Well, let's take a look at that. So let's say an avowed atheist wants to be hired at a Christian school. And, we say, well, you know, we require that you have a confession of faith as a Christian. Well, I don't believe in that. I'm an atheist and I want to apply. Well, that's not what we believe. We respectfully basically deny your application process because we're looking for individuals that have a Christian worldview and that have a personal statement of faith. Well, then this atheist could sue the school. He could sue the institution and file a complaint saying, I was discriminated against. As an atheist, I wanted to work at this school. It's a Christian school. It says that from the outset. The paperwork, the application says, the requirement is, some of the requirements is that you hold a confession of faith and that you hold and that you will practice certain moral standards to be employed, gainfully employed at the school. So this, folks, really is where the rubber meets the road. This is religious liberty. This is religious conscience in our land. And we need to speak up now. That's what this election was about in 2016. We saw where this country was going, and we know that this has been a summer of trial. There's been a lot of problems in our world, folks. We're not distant from that. We know that. But this is one that we can be proactive and take apart because we are in a fight. And we're in a fight for our constitutional rights and freedoms and the privileges that were given to us, handed down by our founding fathers and giving us this great land and with these freedoms that we enjoy, that the world wants to actually get into this country. And we want people to come, but we want them to come lawfully and to enjoy the privileges of our Constitution and our freedom. Pastor, your thoughts?
Absolutely. And as Christians, we need to understand that the clock is ticking, that the days on the calendar, that they're passing by rapidly. 2020 is rapidly approaching. And we have a small window of time in which to secure our liberties as Americans, as Christians within this country. And we ought to take absolute full advantage of it. Don't get relaxed and in your comfort zone and just think that everything is going to take care of itself. No, it will not take care of itself. Everything that this president, President Trump, has attempted to do, they have fought him tooth and nail on every inch and every item. This is a war, and it's been a war. It has been a war, but now we have an opportunity to put some things in concrete and to get a little better firm footing at hand. You know, I failed to mention, Chris, that one of the greatest things that that has happened in this administration is that Israel has been properly recognized.
This Amen.
Just by the moving of our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
Amen.
You know, and this, those of us that still pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
And, that's right.
And just by that move, I believe, has put America firmer in the favor of God. And but we need to do what we are called to do as Christians. Yes, we pray, we seek his face, we turn from our wicked ways. You know, we do these things, but we also need to act as it relates to the system that is set up. And this is the simple submitting of a formal comment in this particular subject matter is an important action for us to take. It's something that we could do. People ask all the time, what can I do? How can I get involved? Well, here's something you can do. You can go to Ohio Christian Alliance's website and look for the link, click on the link, and look for the bright green tab that says submit a formal comment, and then submit your comment. That's action.
Absolutely. That's right, and that's what we can do proactively to, in this instance, make another step for religious liberty. Pastor, we got about a minute left. Let's pray for the president right now. Would you lead us?
Dear God, we thank you for the presidency of Donald John Trump. We ask that you continue to bless him, that you continue to guide and direct them. Be that lamp that is unto his feet. And God, where his intellect runs out, we pray that he will look to the hills with coming his help and understand that his help comes from you, God.
Amen.
We know that what he does and how he positions America will bless America and not curse America if we turn to you first. And he has given examples of doing that which would be in our favor. God, bless his family. Bless his administration, the people that serve in within the cabinet, God. Bless the members of Congress that stand with them. And Lord, those who don't stand with them, allow them to see that this is a unique opportunity not to divide America, but to bring Americans together, God.
Amen.
We thank you.
Amen. And we ask in Christ's name. Pastor, thank you so much. And folks, thank you for joining us and praying for the president. Continue to pray for him in this administration. And thank you for joining me today, Pastor. God bless you,
thank
my
you,
friend.
Sir. God bless you.
And if you missed an event in today's program, you can get it in its entirety on our website at ohioca.org. Stand by. We'll be right back on the other side.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy and the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon, and we're glad that you're with us for this segment as well. And we're going to be hearing from Greg Quinlan, who will be giving his personal testimony of coming out of the homosexual lifestyle and giving his heart to Christ. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But we want to give you an update on the City of Medina referendum effort against the LGBTQ Special Rights Ordinance. This was a ill-conceived ordinance that was passed by City Council early in July. The Citizens Committee gathered and they started a referendum effort. The Ohio Christian Alliance assisted in that. We collected 1,173 signatures and submitted those to the finance director. He held them for 10 days. He gave them to the Board of Elections. Well, there was a report on Monday of this week. Finally heard back from the Board of Elections, and they basically said that we were 44 signatures short to put it on the ballot for 2020. Well, I'm going to read for you a statement because it doesn't end there, folks. We're going to continue to fight because we believe that there's discrepancies in what the board found. They actually discounted 260 signatures. We know that there are a number of valid signatures in that 260 count that will put us over the 44 that we need. So here it is, a statement from the Ohio Christian Alliance, a public records request has been made to the Medina County Board of Elections regarding the referendum petition on the LGBTQ Special Rights Ordinance 112-19. The Medina County Board of Elections on Monday reported to Medina City Finance Director Keith Durham that the referendum petition effort on Ordinance 112-19, the LGBTQ Special Rights Ordinance, had fallen short of the signatures needed. However, OCA and its attorneys see discrepancies in their initial report. The board invalidated 260 of the 1,173 signatures submitted. I stated this. We made the today we officially made public records request for the complete report of the signature review by the Medina County Board of Elections. There are a number of questions concerning the initial report. We believe that upon further review, enough signatures will be validated to place the measure on the ballot in November of 2020. The concerned citizens of Medina City, along with the Ohio Christian Alliance and their attorneys, will review and challenge the board's findings on the signatures they invalidated. We are confident that we will have enough signatures
to be on the fall ballot of 2020. The residents of the city of Medina who are concerned about this new ordinance have a right to have their voices heard at the ballot box. We will fight for their right of representative government and for them to have their opportunity to vote. We are only 44 signatures away from certification for the referendum to be on the ballot. We are confident that the court will validate enough signatures for the referendum to be on the ballot and let the people decide. That is a statement from the Ohio Christian Alliance that we put out last night in response to the board saying that we were short by 44 signatures for the referendum effort. So pass that along. Also at our website, you can see the statement and get updates as we are going to be filing in court for those signatures, the affidavits of those people who did sign the petition and make up the difference and get on the ballot in 2020. We'll be giving you updates here. Thank you so much. Well, stay tuned. We're going to be hearing from Greg Quinlan, who will be sharing with us his testimony of how he came out of the homosexual lifestyle. Well, we also want to tell you about an upcoming event with the Ohio Christian Alliance. Our Fall Freedom Banquet is coming with David Barton of the Wall Builders. Will be with us Friday, September 27th. That will be at the Crown Plaza in Columbus. And the information for tickets and table sponsorships are available on our website at ohioca.org. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance and register today. We would like to have you there. David Barton, of course, is an excellent author and historian. He'll be talking about the Constitution, and we're going to have him focus on the importance of the Electoral College vote. You've heard a lot about that. Various states moving forward to do away with the Electoral College. Well, that's the basis of our representative republic in this country. We're not a simple democracy, but a representative republic. And remember what Ben Franklin said when he emerged from Constitutional Hall. He said, you have a republic, madam, if you can keep it. And that's what we endeavor to do here at the Ohio Christian Alliance. So please join us for our Fall Freedom Banquet, Friday, September 27th. That's 6 p.m. for a reception, 7 o'clock dinner with David Barton and other special guests. Well, with me on the phone is a special guest. He's a good friend of the Ohio Christian Alliance, a good friend of mine, and he's been in the fight on family matters for a long time. His name is Greg Quinlan. He is founder and president of Garden State Families, and that's in New Jersey, and he is fighting the good fight for pro-life and pro-family issues there in the state of New Jersey. Greg, of course, has his own personal testimony as he left the homosexual lifestyle in 1992. Greg was a gay activist for 10 years, lobbying in Washington and in D.C. and Ohio for homosexual agenda. As an LPN and as a registered nurse, he watched over 100 of his friends and acquaintances die of AIDS. He has shared his testimony in the 700 Club, TBN, and countless radio and television programs. And with us today to talk about these SOGI laws is Greg Quinlan. Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. There's a lot going on all these issues. It's absolutely ridiculous. But can I say, just make one blanket statement? One of the reasons all this is happening is because the church has been too afraid to preach the truth. And I know I'm using a big broom here, but truth is truth. It's not relative. It doesn't matter, and it should never matter to those of us who worship the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the truth in love. But, brethren, it isn't love until you tell the truth. So this is why we are where we are, because so many ministers, preachers, businessmen and all that are so worried about being hated, not liked, or being accused of being a hater or a bigot. They have just, what they've done is they've gone silent, and silence will never bring a soul to Christ.
Amen. Absolutely, Greg. And you've been fighting this fight for a long time. In fact, as you came from the other side, as far as a homosexual activist yourself back in the day, you alerted the family groups as you'd rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. You really educated on all of us on what the agenda was a couple of decades ago, where we're at today is actually what you stated they were heading. The Human Rights Campaign, of course, which is the homosexual lobbying group both nationally and internationally, and even down on a local level, is the one that's pushing forward with these homosexual ordinances, what's called SOGI laws, sexual orientation, gender identity. The language within these laws or ordinances is ambiguous. It's intended to be so. So to set it basically put it off kilter, anyone who seeks to oppose them. And, of course, then they just say that you're hateful and that you're bigoted and that you're narrow-minded.
Yeah, this point has to be made for every listener here. Every bill, every law, every ordinance, every policy initiative that promotes the LGBTQI-XYZ, because they've extended beyond the alphabet with their identities, with their own labels. Every time one of these things passes, it diminishes, silences, and it absolutely interferes with your First Amendment rights, with the freedom to exercise your religion, with the freedom of your speech, with the freedom of dissent, with the freedom to redress grievances to your government. This is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous thing, and it has to be stopped. The only way it can be stopped is for the church and for people of faith, for people of common sense, to get up and organize. You don't have to be necessarily religious to understand that nature is nature and no one is born gay. And let me give you that piece of scientific evidence. How do I prove a negative? By all the studies and science and research that's gone on to prove that somebody's born gay, that has proved nothing of the sort. Back in 1990-something, under Bill Clinton, he initiated the Human Genome Project. And the Human Genome Project was to map the human genome. It was a payback to the Human Rights Campaign Fund, the organization I used to be with, which is now just HRC, Human Rights Campaign, because they helped get him elected. Democrat Bill Clinton appointed Democrat Dr. Francis Collins, world-renowned biologic researcher and geneticist, to head up the Human Genome Project inside the National Institutes of Health. Multiple millions of dollars, a 13-year project, and at the end of the project, Dr. Francis Collins, world-renowned geneticist and a Democrat, I'm stressing that because he wasn't a Republican, was that he said this in his own book, quote, homosexuality is not hardwired, end quote. There is no gay gene. The American Psychiatric Association in 2000 said this, quote, there are no replicated scientific studies supporting any specific biologic etiology for homosexuality, end quote. That isn't scripture. That's the American Psychiatric Association, the very organization that actually is suggesting that to be very religious is a mental illness. There are many inside these mental health organizations actually saying that. But they said that no one is born gay also. No evidence exists. They've never rescinded, amended, or changed that statement. Why? Because nothing has changed. In 8 years later, in 2008, the American Psychological Association, the non-MDs, said the same thing using two paragraphs to do it. Bottom line, there remains zero evidence. Zero that anyone is born a homosexual. I tell you this as someone who's lived the gay lifestyle, been out of it for over 27 years. Homosexuality is a developmental gender identity disorder, developed, not innate, acquired, not inborn. And through therapy, through work, through understanding how you developed those tendencies, how you developed those desires for same-sex attraction, you can overcome it. It's the scripture. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind. It's 2 Corinthians 10, where it says you have to take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. It's what Jesus said by taking up your cross and following me. We have to crucify ourselves daily. Again, what Paul said. This is what it takes to follow the Lord. All, there isn't a human being on the planet, whether they serve the Lord or not, that doesn't have issues. Issues that govern their lives, that they don't want to govern their lives, that are not what the Lord intended. And all of us have to take stock in looking at the manufacturer's guidelines and following them And that's the word of God.
Amen.
No one is born gay.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
Almighty God, our sons, pride of our nation, this day have set upon a mighty endeavor, a struggle to preserve our republic, our religion, and our civilization, and to set free a suffering humanity.
And the soldiers who stormed the beaches of Normandy in the Allied liberation of Europe. On D-Day, all those warriors set out on their mission. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt led our nation in prayer.
The D-Day Prayer Project is an effort to add FDR's D-Day prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. This wonderful historical presidential prayer will be a lasting tribute to our World War II veterans. If you'd like to make a contribution towards the effort of adding this prayer to the memorial, go to the website at ddayprayerproject.org. That's ddayprayerproject.org.
We are talking to Greg Quinlan. He is president and founder of the Center for Garden State Families in the state of New Jersey. Greg works and lobbies for pro-life, pro-family legislation at the state legislature in New Jersey. Previously, he worked here in Ohio and in other states with the Pro-Family Network. Greg, it's a privilege to have you on the program today to talk about this, and what a powerful testimony of one who's come out of the gay lifestyle. And so what we're hearing today, repeatedly, in fact, we're hearing from the homosexual community, shutting down clinics, counseling centers, who are counseling people to come out of homosexuality, those who struggle with same-sex attraction, to go in to follow God's design, to hear, to really remodel their thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So the Bible says, renew your mind. They're shutting down those kinds of counseling clinics across the country and actually making it a crime. Explain that to our audience.
Yes, they are. In fact, they're calling it, it's actually called reparative therapy. It's a psychodynamic therapy. It's only talk therapy. It was done by Dr. Joseph Nicolosi. His books have been banned by Amazon. Amazon has now become the book-burning master of the world. So they have decided what's free speech and what isn't free speech. And because Amazon is so large and so big, they can do this and get away with it. Here's the problem, folks. It's stopping real science, real therapy. And then they use this nonsense about electroshock therapy. They use this nonsense about, you know, IV therapy to induce vomiting when you have these ideations of same-sex attraction. All that's a ruse. It's all a lie. No license. Healthcare professional who practices sexual orientation change efforts called reparative therapy practices those things. All therapy seeks to repair something. If I have something in my life that I don't want, that is causing me problems, that is not the direction that I want, that's giving me emotional and mental anxieties and stresses, then I can go to a counselor who's licensed, and I should be able to get, and he has to, by his own professional standards, his or her own professional standards, it is patient-guided therapy. This is real. This is legal. This is right. This is integral. But what is happening now is that the homo fascist, and that is a real term that is actually descriptive of the homosexual movement and what they're trying to do. You see, you, brethren, and your Bible and your faith and the Constitution of the United States, which is a Christian document, and it's a Calvinist document. I'm not a Calvinist, but it's a Calvinist document, is in the way of their agenda. So what do? They want to take over the courts. They want to take over the schools. They want to take over the corporations. They want to take over the media. They want to take over Hollywood. They've done it. They've been successful while we have let them do it. While we have let them do it. We have let them do it. So I want to tell everybody, it's time now to stand up or there will be no standing up. There's no way we can stop this if we don't stand up and do it now.
We are talking with Greg Quinlan. He is president and founder of Garden State Families of the state of New Jersey. As an ex-homosexual coming out of the lifestyle, he has given his powerful testimony on many radio and television programs. But unfortunately, you've not heard Greg's testimony on Fox News, on CNN, or MSNBC. They've actually shut down the ex-gay narrative, and they've actually blocked it, blackballed it from out in public view. So what you're hearing today is a very powerful testimony of a man who's come out of the lifestyle, who's actually working for pro-family, pro-life legislation in the state of New Jersey. Greg, I know that you've actually spent a lot of time reviewing the Kinsey Institute report and actually debunking its tenets. This is what's used in colleges and universities to push this narrative of the LGBTQ lifestyle. Your thoughts?
Taught as a fact, and it's fraudulent. Fraudulent. It's been proven fraudulent. Nothing that he said is true. Let's start with the children of Table 54. The children of Table 54 was where this man, Alfred Kinsey, said that children are orgasmic at birth. Now, who did he observe? What children could he have possibly observed? And these children would be alive today. So did he make this up, or is this man an outright pedophile?
Right.
Secondly, he said that 10% of the population is homosexual. Now, let's look at where he got that 10% at. This is not scientific at all. This is deliberate. This sexual pervert, bisexual pervert, and sadomasochist, and wife swapper, this is what he did at the University of Indiana, Bloomington, and here's what he said. He said that 10% of the male population is homosexual. He got that information from a prison in Illinois. The male population of a prison in Illinois, 10% of them were homosexual. You really think it was that low? Anyway, that's my point. The science is bogus. It's fraudulent. It's created. It's made up. It's not true.
And yet this Kinsey report is what's being quoted in the narrative of the LGBTQ advocates all across the country, and it's a false science, folks. It's erroneous. Greg, thank you for your work in going out there and actually debating people on the subject of those who will debate you. You've been shut down. You've been called bigoted. You've been called hateful, and yet you're a man who's come out of the lifestyle. And so there's no tolerance on the left.
Yeah. Well, I'm just very sick, and I know you're about ready to end here, and we got time is limited. But let me do a quote from a lesbian who happens to be, she's a lesbian feminist activist, and she's also a psychologist. This is Camille Paglia. Quote, homosexuality is not normal. On the contrary, it's a challenge to the norm. Nature exists whether academics like it or not. And in nature, procreation is the single relentless rule. That is the norm. Our sexual bodies were designed for reproduction. No one is born gay. The idea is ridiculous. Homosexuality is not an adaptation, not an inborn trait.
That's pretty powerful coming from a woman who is an avowed lesbian.
Right. It's a choice. Homosexuality is an adaptation, not an inborn trait.
Well, folks, this has been a lot of information. If you've missed any of today's program, you could always hear it on our website at ohioca.org. The podcast will be there. Also, Greg, let's give your contact information. It's gardenstatefamilies.org. Again, that's gardenstatefamilies.org. And what's your phone number, Greg, of the organization so they can contact you in the state of New Jersey and they can follow your work there?
Absolutely. 973-668-5784. 973-668-5784. 5784, and I used to be the past president of PFOX, Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays and Gays, an international organization. So who helps parents and family members who have loved ones in the lifestyle.
And those of you that have family members in the state of New Jersey, please inform them of Greg's work and the work and the folks that that are working with him in the state of New Jersey, because we all need to work together in the various states and really encourage each other. Courage begets courage. And as Greg, as you said, we just need to stand up and thank God for the people, the concerned citizens of Medina City, who didn't just take it lying down, who went to the city council, who objected, even though there was a room of supporters that were there. And by the way, these weren't people from the community. Some were, but they brought people in from the outside to kind of bully the residents into accepting this lifestyle and to accepting this really comprehensive ordinance, which would change the way that the city was functioning, especially with public restrooms, with businesses, and in the city schools. And the folks weren't going to have anything of it. And so thankfully they stood up, filed the petition for the referendum. It should be confirmed in another week or two, and it will be on the ballot in 2020. It will put a stop on the action of the ordinance, and then the voters will decide. Communities need to do this all across the country. Your thoughts?
Yes, they do need to do it all across the country, and on today's show, we barely scratched the surface on the depth of this issue.
Absolutely. Well, on part two, we have Josh Brown. This was an interview I did with our attorney a few weeks ago. A lot of good information about the Sochi laws, what's happening across the country. Greg, again, thanks so much for being my guest today. We'll have you back, my friend, and God bless you for the great work you're doing in the state of New Jersey for the cause of families and the pro-life movement.
Thank you very much. Prayers appreciated.
All right, absolutely. And then again, visit their website, gardenstatefamilies.org. Thanks for listening today. God bless.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.